Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Lila Rose Show. How's everybody doing? Happy July. I can't believe it's July. We are more than halfway through 2021. I feel like it was just 2020. So many things are happening. And yeah, I have some updates for you guys. I also am going to talk about this topic of burnout because I think I know a lot of people who are wrestling with burnout in different forms. And I also know people who are feeling like they're coming out of their burnout experience of COVID and just the craziness of the last 6 to 18 months. So yes, hello, good. This is going to be a very upbeat, positive episode. And yeah, I feel like there's so much to say on this topic. But first of all, thank you so much to everybody in the last month and 2 months, I guess it's been 2 months now, it's crazy, who have been so supportive of Fighting for Life. I was so excited to get this book finally birthed and released. So Fighting for Life, Becoming a Force for Change in a Wounded World, if you haven't already heard or seen, my first book is out, and I just love getting letters and messages from many of you about how it's affected you and how encouraged you are and how you feel inspired to go make a difference. And I have some of you even who are starting new businesses or nonprofits after reading the book, which is really cool. That's what I'm hoping for. People who see that, listen, we're all called to make a difference in the world. A lot of that has to do with the difference that happens inside of us, and it has to do with taking risks, getting out there, being a force for change, but doing it in a way that is full of love and truth, because I do think there's like tremendous polarization and division right now in politics and in our country. It's very represented on social media and in news media. So I'm not saying we have to be at each other's throats, but I am saying that we go out there and stand up for what's right and fight really for each other, because really at the end of the day, that's what this is about. Those that are feel strongly about some of these cultural issues, the human rights abuse of abortion, fighting for life, it's not because we hate anyone or want to hurt anyone. It's actually because we want to help people. We want to help people be alive, choose life, see the beauty and gift of life. So if your fight, what you're building, what you're trying to do, whether it's in politics or culture, is because of love, because you want to help and serve people, and that's the spirit with which you operate, then I think that's an incredibly powerful and transforming force for good in the world. So thank you, everybody. I love getting the feedback. It's also funny, the trolls or some of the negative reviews. There haven't been a lot, but there have definitely been some. The latest negative review on Amazon, I saw it last week, I think, about the book was, about Fighting for Life, was from some poster that I don't think they read the book. They're like, I've been following Lila's social media and her media comments for years now. And I'm like, okay, well, is this a review about my social media or is this a review about my book? But whatever. And the commentator or whatever, whoever was writing this, I think it was an anonymous name, of course, or some sort of like slogan for their name instead of an actual person's name. But they said, she's sentimental and has an unrealistic worldview. And of course I hate women is the allegation of the reviewer. And it's just, I'm like, please read the book and let me know if you still think that, because I was super raw in Fighting for Life, shared a lot of personal things, and I think provided a very holistic view of the pro-life battle and the larger culture of life work that needs to be done, because it's absolutely 100% anti-abortion. We have to stop killing babies, but it also has to do with building up families, supporting mothers, making the care of children and the care of our future generations really the focus of our society instead of making it this afterthought, which I feel that it can often be. So anyways, thank you for the positivity that I have gotten. If you've reviewed the book on Amazon or just bought it or shared it or whatever it is on social media, talked about it, I thank you so much. It means the world to me. And yeah, excited to have the book out there and excited to continue to hear from you guys on it. So I also have some other personal news. I just recently shared this on some social media, I think last week, but we are expecting another baby. So Joe and I are due with our baby, a little baby boy, on November 9th of this year. So we are due and expecting a little baby boy later this year. And we're very excited. This is actually my third pregnancy, our third child. So some of you guys know I actually had a miscarriage earlier this year. It was very hard, but also very hopeful, because I just have a lot of trust. I personally believe strongly that God has a plan for every life and that this child is in heaven and will be reunited one day. So I had a lot of consolation despite the pain of that miscarriage. And it just made me relate all the more deeply to people who have been in those situations, especially not just mothers, but fathers, because I think miscarriages can take a toll on both parents. It's not just on the woman. But anyways, we're so excited for this new baby. We're firmly in the second trimester, so risk of miscarriage is a lot lower, thanks be to God. But anyway, super pumped and just appreciate everyone's love and well wishes. And I'm also hearing about a lot of other babies due this fall. So there's always a baby due sometime in the year. Every day there's babies being born. But the first trimester. So the reason this is like connected to the topic of burnout, first trimester for me, so the first 3 months of pregnancy have always been really hard. And this pregnancy was no different. Lots of fatigue and exhaustion, lots of nausea, lost weight instead of gained weight, like you're supposed to do when you're pregnant. And so I felt that, and I was also releasing the book and live action work. My nonprofit has been extremely busy. We're reaching about 15 million people every week with pro-life content. We're planning these new events and doing these new activism strategies. So it's all very exciting because we're seeing lives saved, we're seeing people's hearts and minds changed on life, but it's also very challenging. So the issue of burnout, I'm really passionate about because I think it's a universally experienced state that we can find ourselves in, being burnt out, or some of us who are really high achievers or performers, we might be in this kind of perpetual state of semi-burned outedness, but we aren't really escaping it because we never slow down enough to rectify it. We're kind of stuck in our burnout. And I'm passionate about this because I think the state that we are meant to be in at the end of the day involves productivity and work, but it also involves leisure and being present to the beauty and joy and really the relaxed state of just existence. And enjoying that with our loved ones and enjoying that even before God. So I think, you know, the pro-life fight that some of you guys know me in with live action and everything else, it's about saving lives. But the ultimate end game is a culture of life. And a culture of life is about thriving lives. It's about everybody, all of us, really thriving. And not wasting our lives, not just living our lives and then dying, but living our lives in a way that was just at its peak, full of the human experience of joy. Yes, it includes sorrow and it includes challenges, but it includes that maximal human existence, which absolutely involves wonder, imagination, creativity. It involves rest and leisure. It involves these things that I think sometimes are not valued enough in our society today, or people don't enjoy enough or don't get access to enough, and so they burn out. That's what happens. They burn out. So Business Insider, the I guess pretty popular business website, has an article, a lead article. It's a headline news last week, and it said, the U.S. workforce is feeling more burnt out than ever. And it's funny, or I don't know if it's funny, if it's sad, but you Google burnout on the news right now, and there's so many articles about workers burning out and moms feeling burnt out and students feeling burnt out, and everyone's just burnt out. And you look at mental health rates, and it's not a pretty picture. I mean, pretty much progressively over the last decade, people's mental health has declined. So you're seeing more cases of anxiety, more cases of depression, more cases of OCD overall. And yes, this can be connected to more of it being diagnosed, but I also think it's connected to people just generally not experiencing as much well-being. So burnout is connected to that. Obviously, that's not like, you know, feeling burnt out is the reason you get depressed, but I think these things are all interconnected. So I want to first define burnout because I think it can mean different things to different people. I would define burnout as you are living in a pretty chronic state of being stressed and tired. And when you're stressed and tired, you typically don't want to do anything creative. It's hard to be creative, hard to be imaginative. It's also hard to be present with other people and to really enjoy leisure time with other people. So when you're stressed and tired, it's pretty difficult to want to take your toddler to the park and just run around with them. Or it's pretty maybe difficult to give yourself permission to just get together and reminisce with a friend and laugh. People who are burnt out, the work that they've been doing pretty intensely usually is not life-giving anymore. It feels exhausting. When you're burnt out, you're often feeling like there's no end in sight. You can't. You're the hamster on the wheel, and you can't get yourself off. You maybe have trouble sleeping for the little time that you're sleeping. Your diet's probably not very good. And there's just general sense of hopelessness that you might be experiencing, and frustration and irritability. And yeah, these are also symptoms of actual depression, clinical depression. But I think burnout is different because you don't have to be clinically depressed to feel burnt out. You can be not have some actual mental disorder and be burnt out. You're just overwhelmed with your state in life. You're just overworked. You need a break. But I would say it's more than just you need a break, because here's the thing. I don't think it's healthy to just live in constant intense states of work and then just look forward to the weekend and then take a deep breath and take a break and then get back into what can be an experience of burnout. I think that's actually not living a thriving life. It's not really flourishing as a human being. Ideally, what we are doing as people is we have our priorities in order as human beings and our identity in order as human beings. So we're not constantly just trying to get to the next thing and trying to reach for the next milestone and being exhausted and stressed along the way. So it's really about the quality of our life and the energy, the emotion, the thought that we bring to our day, the state that we are in. And we can absolutely change the state that we are in through, I think, interior work that we do and also through the decisions that we make and what we choose to do with our lives in general. So I want to go to a couple principles and then I'll talk about some practicals on the issue of burnout and share some stuff where I have had issues with burnout and what I've done, what has worked for me. And at any point, I love your guys' thoughts and feedback. So please email me thoughts@lilaroseshow.com. I love getting your emails, thoughts@lilaroseshow.com. You can also message me on social media. I try to respond as best I can, and I love seeing your comments there too. So some principles. So our society today, I feel, is in many ways obsessed with work. Our sort of value is how much money we're making, if we're financially surviving or thriving, you know, what our productivity is. It's about work today, how many hours we're working, how successful we are with our work. Our society doesn't, if you go to Italy, by the way, I love Italy. I'm half Italian. Many of you guys know that. And if you go to Italy, they literally close their stores for 2 hours a day to go drink cappuccinos, to take a nap, and just to have leisure time or whatever else they want to do. And this is like standard. They are literally 2 hours a day. Imagine in the United States, Starbucks, I mean, not all the cafes always close down, but some of them do. But imagine like just all the stores closing down for 2 hours. Target closes down for 2 hours a day. Now, taking a step back, I'm not sure the major chains close down, but like your typical Italian businesses are closing down. Imagine that was in the United States. That would just be so foreign, right? That's not how we operate. You're open, you're working, you're on it, you're producing. The idea of giving your employee, if you're a boss in the US, 2 hours off in the middle of the workday to just like don't chill. I mean, that's a very non-American concept, right? Although I do think some dentist offices, I feel like when I call the dentist to make an appointment, they're always on lunch break. Have you noticed that? Like noon to 2 p.m., they're just out of the office. And some doctor's offices, like they're like gone. I'm like, okay. And of course, as an American, I'm frustrated. I'm like, I wanted to make my appointment. I needed to like change my appointment, whatever. But I digress. I mean, so maybe there's a few of doctor's offices or dentist offices that practice this. But typically, it's like an Italian thing. And I think it's also in Spain. There are other European countries that get this. And I think my take on parts of Europe and other cultures beyond Europe, certainly, is in other parts of the world, being a human being is celebrated and more important than what you produce as a human being. And I think this is a principle that who you are as a human being is more important than what you can make or do. I think that, and certainly what you make or do is valuable, very valuable, but that you are a human being, that you exist, that you eat, that you sleep, that you love, that you live, that is ultimately the ultimate as opposed to your productivity. And I think that is the right view. That is the right principle. And I do think other cultures attempt this, and certainly better than American culture. If you're in America, the idea of taking really even like being a mom, I mean, the way we talk about mothers, right? So mother versus career. We have these conversations. Like, I got a question. I did a live Q&A for my book on this, you know, book club group for Facebook the other day. And one of the questions I got was, well, how do you balance your career with motherhood? And I hear this a lot, not just towards me, but women in general. How do you balance career with motherhood? And I just, or your work, they say your work with motherhood. And I just say, listen, you know, motherhood is a career. It is work. It is a job. I mean, it has all the trappings of work and career, except it's even more important and more involved. And it's certainly more valuable because you're doing actual work. You're actually raising the next generation. You're loving, you're living, you're existing in a relationship as you're meant to. It certainly has huge economic value. I mean, let me tell you, raising a healthy child, raising a strong child, raising an educated child has much more long-term economic value than any other work you could do that day, typically speaking. It's literally the whole future generation of workers and each person and their lifelong of, you know, economic contribution. And of course, not every child is going to go on to be some big high earning, you know, breadwinner or whatever. But my point is, you know, we don't have a future economically without the next generation, right? So, I mean, economically, what a mom does is super important. You know, what she does for her household, what she does to empower her family, or a father for that matter, in any role, domestic role he may play. But it's just a funny dichotomy, this idea of like work versus motherhood. Motherhood is a form of work, and it's just as noble. And I would say it's actually more important than, you know, your typical day job. And that's not to say work doesn't have value and, like, you know, your actual jobs, like, you know, working at the bank or doing this or that. But I'm trying to say, you know, our mindset on this is, oh, go be professional, climb the ladder, make money, be influential. And we downplay our family relationships. We downplay leisure time, you know, just being, just enjoying life in the simple things with our families and friends. And I don't think that's healthy. I think it has ultimately a destructive impact on many, many of us. So another principle I'm going to mention, so I said, it's not just what we do, it's who we are. You might have heard this before. But from a religious standpoint, you know, for those who are listening, Jewish or Christian backgrounds, or really a lot of people, I think, subscribe to this, there is a reason we have Sunday. There's a reason, like Kanye West singing "Closed on Sundays, You're My Chick-fil-A." Chick-fil-A closes on Sunday. Why? It's not some rando thing. Dan Cathy, the head of Chick-fil-A, closes on Sunday because he's trying to honor the Sabbath, which is one of the Ten Commandments. And why is this important? Well, in the account in Genesis, the first book in the Bible, it talks about God creating the universe in a week, right? He creates all things. He creates man and woman, all the animals, the land, the sea, the air, everything, the universe. And then it says he rested, and it says he saw that it was good. I mean, he delighted in his work product. He delighted in his creation. And then it said he rested on the seventh day. And then he commands mankind to honor the Sabbath. And he says that the Sabbath was made for mankind. Like, he made it for us as well as he enjoyed it himself, because like God, we're created like God. We're creative beings like God. We're also created to rest and to enjoy and to experience the fruit of our labor, the beauty of our labor. And Sunday is also in the Christian tradition to worship God. It's a day to take our eyes off of just what's around us in our immediate world and remember who God is and just worship him for being perfection and all joy and perfectness. And that elevates our soul and it creates something beyond our immediate physical experience of remembering that we're not just what we do. We are who we are, our souls, and we're called to something eternal. We're made for something eternal. So Sunday matters. And I think, you know, every time when we go to sleep at night, we're resting, right? we're being restored. We're prepared for another day. Like there's 24 hours in a day for a reason. And we do one day at a time for a reason. And every day built into that day is our need as human beings to eat and to sleep. and also to love and to laugh and to be with each other, be with our family. So there's a certain rhythm. There's a rhythm to human life. And there, that's natural, that's good, that we should pay attention to. And that's why the Italians do their rhythm and they take 2 hours off midday in the sleepy part of the afternoon to rest before they go and party, you know, and many of them work, but before the evening. And they usually stay up late, you know, that's also part of the schedule, but there's a rhythm. And when we're not in a rhythm as human beings, that's when burnout happens. It has to be a rhythm that is conducive to human flourishing, that involves the respect for the principle of Sunday, respect for the principle that we are who we are and not what we do primarily. And because we are human, that means we need to sleep, you know, not like just 4 hours every night and grind away, but probably at least 6.5, 7, you know, I'm pregnant right now, so I should be sleeping 9. I struggle. That does not typically happen, but you know, at least 7.5, 8, making sure we sleep, making sure that we eat well, making sure that when we're eating, we're not rushing, but we're like enjoying our food. We're just being present with our food, making sure we have time with our families, you know, looking into our child's eyes, like really being present to them, with our spouses, with our friends. I think another really important part of like the human experience is moving our bodies, like walking, not just sitting in front of an office screen all day, you know, working out. I think thankfully our culture seems really pro working out, at least in the last several decades. Like the kind of whole, you know, health, physical health and fitness thing is big right now, which is awesome. It should be. So, you know, typically I feel like even people burnt out, they typically are doing some working out, which is good. So keep doing that. That's good. That's not bad. That's good. But another piece too is being in nature. That can be hard if you live in the city and like a high rise, but just spending time in nature, you remember that it's not just about what you're doing like a busy little bee all day, but it's just about enjoying how beautiful this world is and how wild this world is and how big this world is. And I think it places us appropriately in the universe, because we can just be so in our heads, so in our own self-regard, that we forget the bigger things. And that also can contribute to the burnout, because our world becomes really small. It's like we become inside a coffin of ourselves in our burnout, instead of allowing ourselves to be broken out and in a state of rest and wonder in the larger world around us, the universe around us. And nature and the universe around us, it also involves just being present and taking in the glory of another human being. That could be a family member or even just a stranger that we encounter. Just be like, wow, human beings are crazy and amazing, and these mysteries, you know, we're like, every human being is a mystery. In a way, we are mysteries to ourselves even. You know, it's, we can't comprehend every single bit of what it means to be human, every hair on our head. I mean, there's so much mystery wrapped up in even our own existence. And being in awe of that mystery. So physical health, you know, mental, emotional health are tied to rhythms that respect our bodies, our minds, our souls, having the time for our families, our sleep, our eating, our prayer, you know, our meditation, our worship of God. These are all supremely human things that we need to do and be and live. And remembering those principles, you know, our productivity, our identity is not our productivity, right? Like how much I can make in a day, how much money I raise for my organization, you know, how many people I email, how many phone calls I do, how many social media or op-eds I write or whatever I do, that is not the sum of my existence. You know, that is not my value right there. My value is as a human being, a child of God, as a wife, a mom, a sister, a friend, a woman, and that's innate. No matter where I go or what I do, it's innate. So remembering that and really living by that. one of the best pieces of advice I ever received from one of my mentors. I think mentors are so crucial for all of us, mentors, advisors, guides. Anyways, he said to me that my best contribution to the world was not my work, but it was in the quality of the person I was becoming and how I loved others with my whole heart. And I really loved that because it's like your contribution is not so much what you do, but it's how you love. And I think that's also key to recovering after burnout is remembering, okay, what is life about? It's about loving and being loved. And I'm a gift. You know, human beings are gifts. We're gifts to each other. Love is a gift. Love is a gift of self, wanting the good for the other and being there for the other in our own being. And so to do that, though, we have to value the gift of our own life. We have to value ourselves. So I love that. You know, my best contribution, your best contribution is not so much what you do at your job, in your work, even though that is awesome and has value, but it is in who you are becoming and how you love others every day. So what do we do? You know, if you're right now listening to this and you're feeling burnt out, or you have a friend who's burnt out, or whatever it might be, what do we do when we are in a place of burnout? And I'll just share personally, you know, this has happened to me throughout the years. I was living in Washington, D.C. a few years back, and this was before I got married. And I talked a little bit about this in Fighting for Life in my book, but basically I was in D.C. I was traveling like every week, at least, maybe twice a week. And I was speaking everywhere. I was doing these national investigations and just really busy with my work at Live Action. And I would come home to my apartment. I didn't really have a very strong rhythm. I tried to keep one on the road, but you know, my sleep was kind of disordered and eating was kind of off. And it's like my routine was kind of off and had been off for a while. And I didn't really have like, you know, I wasn't married or had kids. So there wasn't like that, like tethering me, you could say, to a, like a daily rhythm. But I would get back to my apartment and I would just be exhausted. I had been doing good work and there was energy still in the work occasionally, but I felt maxed out. I felt maxed out where even a, like a weekend where I could crash wouldn't feel good enough. And I realized that my burnout, I was in burnout and it was hard to like imagine new ideas and be creative. Typically when you're stressed, you can't be creative. It's like you're being chased by a wild animal and you can't really like sit and be like, I'm going to paint a beautiful painting, right? When you're being chased by a wild animal, it's hard to sit there and come up with this amazing idea or write some beautiful novel, right? So yeah, I just was like, okay, I feel burnt out. Like it's hard. Like I feel like sort of, I have all these mixed feelings about the future. I feel this dread. I'm stressed. I'm not in a rhythm. And I was like, what do? I have my work to keep doing. I can't just like stop working. And I realized that the first step was to acknowledge where I was at. I think that's the first step with burnout. Like, yeah, I'm in a place of burnout right now. And from that place, like if we know we're feeling burnt out, like I remember just being in my apartment kitchen, my high rise building in Arlington, Virginia. And I was like, okay, like I'm sort of dreading my next trip. I'm exhausted. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think on a personal level too, again, I mentioned I wasn't married or kid, I didn't have kids. Like there was a lack of regular community life I was living. Like it wasn't like seeing my friend every week and getting together. I mean, I was unrooted from a consistent community at the time. And I think that's really can contribute to burnout. And so I remember just looking in the mirror in my like apartment bathroom or, you know, standing in the kitchen or looking in the mirror in my like in my kitchen or whatever it was and just being like, okay, where am I at? I got to take stock of where I'm at and I got to make some decisions to change it because it's not going to be dramatic changes at first, but I need to start making a plan because if I keep on this track, I'm just going to get deeper and deeper in this hole. And so I started to make a plan. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop saying no to so many events. I'm going to start making some time for more time for my family. I'm going to make sure I'm getting sleep. It was like, you know, getting myself back on a wagon. And now I've learned to mostly prevent that by having just good habits to begin with, like making sure I'm getting the sleep, making sure I'm doing this. And it's constant tweaks throughout the day. It's like a regular reorganizing process that you go through of like, okay, how do I maximize and optimize my day, take care of myself, take care of my responsibilities, be there for my family, take time for rest, etc. But it was really recognizing where I was at that helped me. And I remember I actually went to the doctor because I was like really feeling not well. I had like anxiety, and I went to this naturopathic doctor that a friend recommended to me around this time. And she wanted me to take all these blood tests and figure out what was wrong with my, like, you know, blood levels. And then I went to this other primary care doctor who immediately was like, well, I can give you an antidepressant. I mean, she was just going to give me a medication. And the naturopath was going to, you know, have me do my blood work and all this stuff. And those are potential things to do depending where you're at and what your situation is. But I realized both with like all these oils I could have taken and these natural remedies or an antidepressant I was being offered, you know, if I wanted it. She wasn't saying I had to take it, but she was just saying like, you know, this is an option. I basically will prescribe this to anyone. I don't think that's a very good doctor, by the way. But anyways, I'm not against medication for mental health issues. But I think what I realized was if I just slept, if I just took time to do regular sleeping, I didn't do such a crazy travel schedule, if I wasn't, you know, so unrooted from family and friends right now, if I actually took Sundays off fully and just took time to rest and, you know, took time for, you know, moving my body and being out in nature, I know I could be in a healthier place mentally and emotionally. And I know I could be more ready and creative with my work and more ready for the next thing. And so I realized that if I just did these normal, healthy, practical things and worked on them, that would get me in a very different place. And it did. I started to work on it and it did. And I think sometimes because we're so work obsessed as a culture and we have such high demands on ourselves with our work, we do these kind of shortcuts. And I'm not saying don't take essential oils or like pills, you know, I'm not saying don't take supplements, what are they called? Or, you know, I'm not saying if you have a mental health issue, don't listen to your, you know, provider and don't potentially take a, you know, medication at first for a period of time, or if you need that. You know, when I was in high school, I was on an antidepressant for 2 years and it helped me a lot. So I'm not saying I'm against those things, but I am saying go practical. Go practical with the rhythm of your life. Are you doing the practical things, the sleep things, the eat things, the be in nature things, the be with your family things, the kid therapy things? I mean, being with little kids and loving on children and being present with kids, that's an incredible kind of therapy. I mean, it's life-changing and life-giving. Doing those things, you know, taking an assessment of what am I doing with the hours in my week? How am I spending them? And is it disordered? Is it not a good rhythm? That can go miles in terms of health and readjusting your life when we, I think, are in a position of burnout or we may be facing burnout. So wherever you're at, keep trying, keep it up, keep making the adjustments. I'm a work in progress. Like I've got a toddler, pregnant with our second, doing a lot of different projects right now, and, you know, managing my home, you know, my marriage, making time for that, friends, family. So every day it's a readjustment. And for me, prayer, you know, taking that time each day to really take stock of where I'm at, talk with our Lord, for me, deepening my faith, asking God to see it from His perspective, that is such a core of having that time to even understand where I'm at, being self-aware. So I highly recommend that. But do the normal things, do the natural things, do the things for your health. And be willing to take stock of where you're at and make those adjustments. And I think that's the sort of practical, non-glitzy way to ultimately stave off burnout and deal with burnout. So thanks for listening. I hope this was an interesting episode for you. I love this topic. I think it's really important. We're going to be doing, the next episode is going to be on mentors. And I'm really excited for the guest I will be talking to. I will be sharing that obviously when it comes out, but thank you for everybody who's been listening to the podcast and supporting it. I know that it's not weekly right now. It will be in the future. So I'm still working on that, but just managing, preventing burnout, managing all my other responsibilities. But I love doing this. It's been awesome to just see the community that is building, that the amazing people that listen and people from all different walks of life. So thank you, everybody. If you enjoyed the podcast, please share it with your friends, of course. Please leave a rating. It helps the podcast reach more people on Apple. Give it 5 stars. Leave a comment. And if you haven't already gotten Fighting for Life, please check it out. I hope you love it. If you would like, there's an amazing free study guide with Fighting for Life that we can send you. So if you email Live Action, so you can email info@liveaction.org. If you've bought the book, we will send you the study guide. You can also buy the study guide at liveaction.org. We are selling it there for a discount, so you can check it out, or you can get it at Amazon or wherever you get your books. But thank you guys so much. Have a great rest of your day.